What's up, everyone? Welcome back to episode 35 of Breaking the Plane. I'm your host, Burge, back at it once again after a week off, thanks to my work, making me work on a Tuesday night when we record. But we are back again here with my friend, nemesis. I don't know. I don't know what I want to call you today, but I will just say I did not miss you the week off that we had. But Hogan... How are you doing
today? I was going to say, feelings mutual, dickhead. So I'm glad we're off to a good start where I didn't miss you at all either. That's good. Typical of you. But I'm fine. Thank you for asking. I'm good otherwise. So everything else is good. And in case anybody else out there is wondering, yes, that is somebody else giggling in the background at my demise over here. So we have the pleasure of introducing our guest for this week. Her name is Shannon. She goes by the Real B12, which is how I know her from the Twitch community. But she's joining us today to talk about her favorite team, the Green Bay Packers. Shannon, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm definitely happy to see I'm always happy to have women talking about football, honestly. But I'm also just here to talk shit. So I'm excited.
As long as we got the mutual enemy over here, we're gonna get along great.
Works for me.
I'm gonna end the recording just now and be like, you know what? I'm done with you clowns. I'm out. Bye.
We'll do our own.
Fine. Perfect. Good. Let me know when the hour's up. I'll see you guys later. Okay.
Yeah. Good. It's just gonna be an hour long of Hogan bashing, and maybe that's the therapy I need from dealing with my kid when he's not going to sleep. Right. Oh, that's the therapy I need. There's some nights where I just want to punch a hole in the wall. Better yet, let's just come on here and bash Hogan. I'm in.
Great.
I'm in.
Great. All right. Are we done, children? Can we move on? Can we move on?
Oh, I'm just getting started, dude.
Oh, my God. Great. Great. Well, speaking of moving on, did you see either of you that Bill Belichick has a new girlfriend? Like, what? 24-year-old girlfriend? Is she a cheerleader currently or is she an ex-cheerleader?
Former.
I mean, does it matter at this point? She's 50 years younger than Bill Belichick. That's the mind part that's blowing everybody. Well, I got to be careful about the terms I'm using on this part. But, no Hawk Tua up in here. Okay. Sorry. I know that's taking everybody by storm. But I thought it was a joke at first when all that stuff started coming out. But then, like, you seeing... What is it? Gronk's been talking about it since the roast of Tom Brady, and everybody else is confirming, and now they're like being photographed and filmed out. It's like, what the hell? I mean, yeah, I guess good for you. Win 6 Super Bowls and then date a toddler. I mean, that doesn't make anybody else like feel weird, right? Realistically, am I wrong in that, like, that terminology with that? Because she's 50 years younger than him. That is so weird.
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing some TMZ reports on this, too, that they interviewed her ex, 64-year-old Joshua Zuckerman. He has a lot to say. So.
Well, I guess she's got a type. So, okay, maybe I'm in the wrong here. There. Maybe this is just like that. Maybe it's like a fetish for older men or something like that. I don't know. We're getting off the rails here. I don't know
why we're talking about this. But
we're off to a good start. Well, hey, we've got to talk about the news with some part of it, right? I mean, it's just it's Belichick. It's our old coach. I mean,
think he misses coaching?
Oh, yeah. Actually, better question. Shannon, would you take Belichick as a coach over? No. Well, no, you got Matt LaFleur now, right?
Yeah, not over LaFleur, no. I would have taken him over McCarthy.
You're not a fan of McCarthy?
No.
Are you glad he's
when he left? But
you're glad. How do you think he's doing in Dallas right now? I know we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but how do you think he's handling that?
I feel like it's been 3 years now, and their record shows how it's going over there. So
that's true.
I was beating the drum down back in January when we were talking about this, about the fact that if Dallas lost that playoff game, that Jerry Jones was going to fire McCarthy and hire Belichick. And I think I might have just been a year ahead, because I think that's a legitimate possibility if the Cowboys don't improve and win a playoff game after.
Do you think Belichick would come back?
Oh, yeah.
Is he wanting to?
Oh, he wants to break that all-time wins record so bad. And I think that was a big part of, like, he didn't want to let up the whole New England thing. I think he wanted to do that here, but Kraft and him came to a mutual agreement, which
impasse.
We all know he got fired. I mean, it's just a nice way of saying he got fired. But I'm curious to see. First off, I can't believe McCarthy didn't get fired after them bowing out of the playoffs in the first round again this year, which just that team, as much as we shit on Dallas for, you know, deservedly so for what they have done in the playoffs, that team is too good to lose in the first round every year the way they do. They have too much talent. Their roster is too good. It's like an enigma. I mean, granted, it's like Detroit being horrendous for 40 plus years, and then all of a sudden they pulled a miracle out of their butt last year. So maybe Dallas has got something coming, but
let's think about it. Jerry Jones has gone through how many coaches to get to this point? Like in the last 30 years since they've won a Super Bowl. At what point does he need to take a – he never will because he owns the team. But what point does he take a look in the mirror and be like, maybe I'm the problem?
He never will.
He never will. But like a reasonable person be like, okay, that's not working. That's not working. That's not working.
Yeah.
Take a look in the effing mirror. His kid's not much better.
Well, I mean, the jury's out because, like I said, it's still – Jerry's team to the end of the day, but like it's just as long as he's got to get somebody in there like a Belichick type, I think, that can run both sides of the aspect with you have the coaching and the GM part that just builds a team that the coach needs and wants and can actually form that team how they want it to be on the field, where right now it's just he's bringing in guys that are just lackeys that will do whatever Jerry tells them to do. And that's, I think, half your problem right there is like Jerry wants to pick all these like little guys off the draft and do everything that he wants to do. And then if you don't have the coach that can make these guys play together that the way they should, but again, they perform in the regular season, they just shit their pants in the playoffs. I don't understand it. Like it doesn't add up, but
it's entertainment for us.
I mean, McCarthy did the same thing for the Packers though. I think we lost a few in a row, first or second round in the playoffs. The last couple of years before he left too.
That's true. But at least you guys, you won the Super Bowl one time with him, which was actually a really phenomenal run in the playoffs. I think you guys won that as like a six seed, which is crazy.
We were wild cards that year.
Yeah. So that was crazy to see. And then at least you got, I want to say you got to a couple of NFC championships, right? Where it was the 49ers always kind of.
Yeah. Sorry. How much is it the head coach? How much is it the
quarterback,
our offense and defense that year, and our coordinators, you know?
That's true. Yeah, because you guys...
The rough one must have been the onside kick.
Oh, wow.
We were at Smoky Bones for that.
Wow, you're just... You want to come at me, and you're going...
I'm just saying, like, that one has to
right
hurt.
In the heart, come on, right away.
She's gonna eventually, when we talk about the Patriots, she's going to come at me for, like, the helmet catch and all that, so I'm ready for it.
Oh, fuck New York. We're not talking about the Giants. Get out of here with that crap. If anything, she should talk about the 96-97 Super Bowl.
I mean, I was like 4.
Okay, still valid. You can just throw that in our face. I wasn't 4. I watched that, and it was the worst thing ever. So.
Granted. Yeah, I mean, I was young, but I didn't watch that live like you guys.
That's fine. So when you started watching, I guess we'll just jump right into it. Mm-hmm. When you started watching the Packers, how old was Brett Favre at that point? I mean, was he on his way out, or was he like still like, you know, young and chippy and throwing like a bazillion touchdowns?
I mean, how do you know I wasn't a Packers fan post 2010 Super Bowl?
Oh, bandwagon. Now you're setting yourself up for some dangerous talk.
No, I got that a lot. In high school, like college, that I was just like a bandwagon fan and all that. But I actually have pictures of me 5 or 6 years old, full 90s, like windsuit for the Packers.
Awesome.
Love that. Love that.
Single person in my family is a Packers fan. I am the only one.
That's the way you got to do it sometimes.
Yeah. So I don't know exactly how old Favre was, but it was back probably shortly after that 97 Super Bowl. We all pick our own teams, and that was like our family thing. None of them like the same team. You had to pick your own, but the rule is you stick with it. You can't like stop following them or pick a new team later.
I love that. That's the way it should be. And I know a lot of people that like actually like So a lot of my close friends do that too, where I have some buddies that are like, we know my buddy Marky B, he's a diehard Cowboys fan. And it's just like every year he's just like, why do I watch this fucking team? But then it's just like at the end of the day, he's like, I can't get off. I they're my team. And I do the same thing with my Longhorns for college football, where it's like 2004 was the greatest where they won the national championship. And ever since then, it's just like, why do I do this to myself watching these guys? Oh, but then it's like I got the counterbalance where I had the pads for so long. And now Patriots suck and Longhorns are getting better again. So it's like, what the fuck's happening?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Syracuse fan for college, so I feel
like
there.
Ah, well, if Carmelo Anthony gets reincarnated and goes there for basketball again, you guys will be all set. But until then,
we had the Boeheims, Anthony, and not much else.
Didn't Chandler Jones play at Syracuse?
Chandler Jones did play in Syracuse. Actually, I want to say probably their most famous athlete at Syracuse. It's got to be Donovan McNabb, actually.
Oh, I didn't even know he played there.
Dual sport. He played basketball for him, and he played football for him.
I didn't even know that. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know how much basketball he actually ended up playing, but
I think realistically he was like he came off the bench or whatever. But still, the fact that he was able to pull it off collegiately is like pretty impressive. I mean,
You never hear about that nowadays. Any of these guys?
No,
never.
No. If anything, I mean, well, look at it. The last time that double sport athlete made news about anything was what, Deion Sanders, right?
I mean,
it was the 90s.
So that's a long time ago.
That's what I'm saying. Like, has anybody done it really? Well, Kyler Murray actually was the
not
the
at
big
a
talk.
Professional level, but I feel like there's been a couple at the college level, maybe, but nobody's done it professionally since I think Deion Sanders, maybe Michael Jordan that time frame, but like,
relax. We're not going to call Michael Jordan a professional baseball player.
He played two, 3 seasons. He played professionally. Did he not? Did he get paid to play? Did he?
I mean,
a couple of bats.
Not in the majors.
He had at least one.
No, he didn't. In the majors?
Jordan, he did.
Oh, man.
Are you serious?
Of at least one. I thought he had a handful.
I know.
I'm assuming for the spectacle of it, but.
Oh yeah. Well, that's the big thing is I think figured that was when he played for like the double A or triple A league or whatever it was. But I did not think he made it to the majors. But then again, I could be wrong because I didn't give two shits about Michael Jordan playing baseball. Everybody on the planet wanted to watch him play basketball. That'd be like me watching Tom Brady bowling or some bullshit. Like I don't give two fucks about that.
You want to watch Brady bowl.
I don't watch bowling in general. I mean, if anything, it'd be like, okay, what clown show is this? Him golfing bowling? Is pretty funny. Bowling?
Is that what you just said? Bowling?
Yeah. I said bowling. Yeah. Well, you're going to watch Tom Brady go bowling?
Only if Pete Weber's there.
See, he actually.
Who do you think you are? I am.
Yeah. Okay. Now you want to talk about getting off the rails. Now we're really getting off the rails here. So, okay, so Shannon, so who is your favorite Green Bay Packer of all time? I know we talked a little bit about how you got into the Packers, obviously, but like who, if you had to sit there, gun to your head, give me your favorite Packer of all time.
Donald Driver.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I like that pick. He was there forever.
He was there forever. I believe he also, I want to say he started and ended as a Packer. I could be wrong on the start.
I want to say, I think Donald Driver did start there. If I'm not mistaken, because he was there for a good chunk of when Favre was there. And then if I'm not mistaken, did he played into when Aaron Rodgers was just getting going as well, too. So he
played
was
his entire career as a Packer.
Entire how long career, did he play there? Was that like 20 years? It's got to be like 20 years.
It was like 15, maybe.
I was going to say maybe 10, yeah.
99 to 2012.
That's impressive.
Yeah, he was there a long time. And he did a lot of stuff outside of football too. That was just, I don't know. He's like just an overall good person also, which I feel like is hard to find. You always get a bunch of news articles here and there about most players nowadays.
Yeah.
And you got like the opposite for him. He's starting charities. He's helping like underprivileged kids, things like that. So
he's the opposite of Antonio Brown.
He's the exact opposite.
I think that goes for like 99.9% of the planet at this point with being the opposite of Antonio Brown. But I mean, I don't know. I stopped looking at his Twitter a long time ago because if you want to get canceled, you go just look at Antonio Brown's tweets. That's all I can tell you about that.
Brutal.
Yeah. But okay. So Donald Driver's your favorite. Do you have a favorite either Yeah, I mean, we're probably, if I had to guess, it's probably going to be the 2011 Super Bowl. But aside from that, do you have either a favorite game or a favorite memory that really, like, when you think of the Packers, that encapsulates, like, that was just an awesome, awesome game?
So I'm thinking, I mean, personally, I went to my first game 2021 against the Bears. It was like Sunday Night Football, but it was the game after the whole Aaron Rodgers, we own you thing.
Yep. Okay.
And so that was against the Bears in Chicago. And then I went to the home game later that season against the Bears. And it was like, it's ice cold. It's like the end of December against the Bears. Everyone's got the We Own You shirts on. We won, of course.
Of course. Of course. You guys had like an 18 game winning streak against the Bears at one point where that, I mean, Rodgers nailed it. He did own them. Like, yeah. I don't think the Bears beat him maybe like a handful of times in like the however long he played there. So that's completely accurate.
Yeah. I think even now we're at least 12-0 against them.
But. Yeah. Well, there's a reason why they've had like the number one pick for the last like 2 or 3 years. I mean, they're hot dog shit at this point, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm on record as not liking Caleb Williams. So I think they will continue to be hot dog shit. I digress though. but I'd like, no, for me personally, I know like that's a huge part of it is obviously for us as Pats fans, where we're so spoiled with the 6 Super Bowls and all the success with the postseason and everything like that. Like I still look at, like I go back to my favorite Patriot game of all time. It was a regular season game. It was the snow game where I actually have a framed picture of Brewski signed it in my basement where it's the fans throwing the snow up in the stands with Brewski doing the touchdown celebration after he picked him. It was against Miami. They won 12-0. And it's just like those little things like that for football always are just so cool to encapsulate like your favorite moments and whatnot. And just like you talked about going to an actual game and just the environment as opposed to just watching on TV as like either a casual fan or just, you know, whatever. It's so awesome to get that experience and go to the stadium and feel the thrill of everything going on there. So Birch, you got something similar or is it a postseason game for you? Or
I haven't been to a postseason game. I don't know if I really have a favorite memory. I was at, there was a Monday night game the year they beat the Falcons in the Super Bowl. It's actually my wife's first game that she had ever been to that I took her to. We had like seats like 10 rows up. It was great.
Nice.
But overall, like the night games for me, as much of a disaster and a nightmare it is to get in and out of the stadium, knowing I'm not going to get home till 3 o'clock in the morning, having to take a day off from work the next day because I'm not going to work with 4 hours of sleep. But the night games for me are by far the best. And that's the same for watching on TV. The night games, the atmosphere, especially when the team is really good and really making like a strong contender for a Super Bowl. Give me a Sunday night game in December in the cold, the snow. Give me a snow game.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I wanted. It was like a bucket list item. And that's just, I don't know, it's a downside of not living where your favorite team is.
Yeah.
Like I picked a random team, but because of that, I grew up in upstate New York half my life. Well, most of my life. Wasn't just casually going to Wisconsin for games.
Yeah. So I mean, you could.
When I got to, yeah.
It would just be a hell of a commute trying to get back and forth. I could tell you that. I mean, I wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, I got with us. Going up. It was like ended up being a solo trip up. I could have brought a friend and sat like way up high, but I ended up getting like 50 yard line.
Did like it right.
15 yard, like 15 rows up, I think, and just went by myself.
I got to know how the Lambeau experience was because that's a stadium that's on my bucket list to visit one day when the Patriots are on the road.
It's amazing. It is like breathtaking when you first go in. And same thing, I wanted to wait until I first went to get my like official cheese head. I didn't want to order one online. So I've got like my own like cheese head now that considered.
Hell yeah.
But
that's awesome.
You could have. It would have been perfect. I would have loved to have seen it. Trust me. That's everybody talks. Now, is the stadium in the middle of nowhere? Is that like what they talk? Like, isn't there like houses around it or whatever?
There's definitely houses. Yeah. So you can park. And I parked a decent little bit away and just kind of walked through multiple parking lots up. But then they had like this whole area of just like vendors and music and everything like that right outside of the stadium that people just went and hung out. I didn't fully know the alcohol rules at all, so I had like I had like a big coat on and I had like Bud Lights. Because I wasn't sure where I could drink or not. And I wasn't trying to get arrested or like ticketed trying to just go see my first game.
So that actually reminds me of a funny story. Is one of the like more recent games that I went to with my wife. Obviously, we went down, we tailgated, and we did the same thing where, you know, we did a little bit of like cooking beforehand, had some drinks. And of course, what game? I think we were watching. Oh, they were playing the Giants. It was Brady's last year. We went to the Thursday night game and they were playing the Giants. And so in pulls this car right next to us with New York plates on it. And I'm like, you motherfuckers, like I'm ready to like, let's throw down. Like, I'm not going to play around with this. these guys, like the nicest people on the planet get out of the car and they're talking to us and all this. And we actually ended up like eating with them a little bit and chit chatting. And, you know, obviously if he started bringing up Super Bowls, we were going to have problems, but he didn't. So it was cool. But then we were getting ready to like start walking towards the game. And he looks at me and he's got like a couple of Bud Lights himself. And he's just looking at me like, hey, am I allowed to like bring these over? And I kind of like, I gave a look to my wife and I was just like, I kind of want to tell him yes, so he can get arrested and he can't go in the game just because he's a Giants fan. But I was like, I'll be nice. I'll tell him no, you can't bring that across the street because they'll get you immediately if you try and bring those into the parking lot. But yeah, no, it's always a good time, especially like depending on what stadium you go to, where obviously Burge and I know Gillette as well as we do. I've been to Dallas a couple of times just because why not? It's a $2 billion stadium. It's phenomenal to go see it. But yeah, I get that feeling of like when you actually go to a stadium that like you've thought about like either your whole life or especially if you're that encapsulated with the team, like with my Texas guys, when I went to the Cotton Bowl for the Red River Rivalry, that was unlike anything I've ever seen in my entire life. And it was just so cool to be there. And I still got to get to an actual Texas home game at some point. But yeah, no, Lambeau Field's definitely got to be a place that like anybody that loves football has got to go to at some point. And you, like you said, you went when it was nice and cold there too.
Yep. It was the week, like I had to leave and then I wasn't going home for Christmas because it was like the 21st or something like that.
Okay.
And so I spent like a couple days there and went home and I was like, sorry guys.
I respect
Christmas present for myself.
Christmas is canceled. I'm going to see the Packers.
And my whole family's up in New York. And so instead of making that trip up there from Nashville, I guess I was living at the time, I was like, I'm going to go this way and then come home. Hey. See you guys next time.
That's perfect.
Have you been to any other stadiums besides Lambeau?
I've been to the Bills Stadium just from being up there.
He's not a fan of the Bills. That's why
I am the resident right Bills there. Hater.
I am the resident that easily second favorite team.
You like the Bills, really? Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm from up there, so it's kind of like that.
No longer aligned.
Love. Okay. You already broke that truce anyway.
That's right.
That's fair. Good point.
Yeah, no, I mean, and the Bills, same thing. Like, you have to be such a loyal fan up until recent years. That it was just fun to be a part of. Like, you just go, you tailgate, you have fun, you hang out.
You were honorary member of the Bills Mafia up there. Were you jumping through tables and whatnot?
I've never jumped through a table. I've watched plenty of people jump through tables.
So. Just checking. You never know. There's like, you get up there and some people go wild. So you just got to ask.
I can only imagine what those like Walmarts look like with like their table sales.
If they had any like brains behind it, what they would do is if like those Walmarts up there would have like a guy that specifically is like designated to fix tables so that when they smash them, you can just bring them back in and just resell them. The endless money they would make for those people. Oh, yeah. But
well, they probably sell them for like 20, 30 bucks. Well, they probably up it to like 50 and people are like, all right, Sunday.
I went to a Pats Bills game probably 2 years ago. It was a Thursday night game. And we actually ended up, you know, walking around the parking lot and met up with a couple of Bills fans that were there. With a group of Patriots fans, and we were talking, and they were fantastic. People were talking about it, and we're like, obviously the Patriots suck, so like we're not gonna beef about anything. But these guys that we met up with, had no idea who they were beforehand. Were hammered out of their mind. We're trying to get new people to jump through a table, and these guys were looking at me. They're like, "We need to go because I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it here." All you know, there's a steel bar down the middle of that table.
And God!
And he's gonna break his back.
Like, how many drinks would it take you to comfortably jump through a table?
Not enough.
That's how I know I'm biased. Yeah. It'd probably take me like three.
Oh God. I mean, realistically, if I had to think about it, it probably wouldn't take me that many, depending how like messed up, depending on what drinks I'm having first and foremost. But like, yeah, that I could, I don't know. I would just be, give me like 10 years ago and I'd probably wouldn't even need a drink. And I'd be like, let's do it. I'm going to go through a table.
I'm much, much younger. Forgot.
Yeah. I'm too stubborn. I'm too stubborn with my hatred of the Bills to even, I could be, if I start drinking, I'll be even more stubborn. I won't do it.
Just refusing out of spite.
Yes.
That's just me. Interesting how much you hate the Bills, considering I don't mind the Bills. I find them to be like the lovable losers personally, where I have the hatred for the Jets. That I hate them.
Like their fans make it a lot for me. Like I hate the Pats solely based off of the majority of their fans. No offense, guys, but
no, it's trust me. I usually. I get the reaction all the time when people find out like I'm a Pats fan. They're just like, oh, you're one of them. And I'm like, yeah, I am. But like, I also like to flaunt my football knowledge first and foremost, where that's where I generate everything that I do. And then it's like,
yeah,
I'm a football fan first, and then I'm a Pats fan second, if that makes sense. So, you know, I'll root for them diehard, but like, I'll sit there, I'll watch every goddamn Green Bay game this year. I'll tell you that. But I mean, it at the same time, I'm going to root for the Patriots first and foremost, but then after that, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, no, like I said, Virg, I just, for me, it's, I always look at the Bills as being, like I said, the boy, I love losing Super Bowls. That's the acronym that I've heard for so long about the Bills, where it's just, so I don't think we've ever gotten into this. Where does your hatred from the Bills come from real quick? I got to figure this out.
I went to college when I was in college. Two of my hockey teammates were major league Bills fans. Okay. And this was in the height of the Patriots dynasty, like in the middle, probably, I mean, not the height, but like the middle, those middle years, like 2009, 2010, 2011 period, where the Patriots were going through their retool. And these two mofos would not stop talking shit to me about the Pats. I actually, one of my buddies, I think he might've been, you know, a little bit, three sheets to the wind at that point, but he was telling me, I'd rather go to four Super Bowls and lose than win three out of four. It's more impressive. He actually said that to me. And I was like, all right, I'm out of here, dude. Like it's deep seated because it's continued. It continued even in like 2020 when the Bills were doing good. I'd get text messages from this kid just talking shit the whole time. And I'm like, dude, like,
you got to start banning people, man.
And now I'm just like
everyone.
this is one of my really good friends from college.
I don't even care. Football season's going,
and I'm like, you know what?
That's, yeah, I agree with that. See, that's me down there. Like, I agree with that sentiment so much.
I blocked my parents on a game. Like, they're Cowboys and I said Redskins, but Commanders fans.
Oh, I say Redskins all the time. You're fine.
Yeah, we somehow play them like yearly, and I will literally block them until like a week later.
You got to do what you got to do.
It's the reason why I root against them so hard and why I have this deep seated hatred that I never want to see them win a damn thing. It's just like I have the four fails of Buffalo on Netflix that I can watch whenever I want to feel better about the Patriots, and that's it.
That's his football porn, in case you're curious about that. That's what he's going to throw on when he's feeling down and out about himself. But anyway, let's move on from our hatred.
You get me fired up right now.
Oh well, I know. I love tables. I'm good at that. Where the Packers are actually the only publicly owned team, right? Like, or traded, whatever the hell that term. So, are you one of the ones that went out and purchased? I fucking knew it. As soon as I asked, started asking this question
again, like 2 years ago.
Yep.
And I wanted to so bad, but financially it didn't make sense.
Oh, and it broke my heart. Not a real fan. Not a real fan. You're not a shareholder. I don't want to hear it. You go buy that thing.
So bad. If I wasn't like when it first, I was like in my late 20s. I've hopped state to state to state over like post college just because I can. But it's an expensive hobby.
I got you. No, it makes sense. Yeah, no, I actually knew, I want to say a friend's girlfriend when I was growing up that actually was a Packers fan as well. And I remember the first time they made it available where you could become like a shareholder.
Yeah.
She like immediately, I think she dropped like two paychecks on that thing and was like, yep, like sign me up. And I was just like, why would you do that?
Yeah,
and
I'm thinking, I'm like, get like the if I had any like residual benefits other than being able to say,
yeah,
I have this, I could have maybe justified it, but.
Like, I promise I'm not trying to sound like a dick, but it almost seems like it's like one of those things where it's like, hey, do you want to own a piece of the moon? Here's like a sheet of paper that says you own this plot of land on the moon. And it's like,
ask me if I have like my name up in like a spaceship somewhere.
You totally do. Nice. Let's go. Nice. I love it. I absolutely love it. Well,
so, yeah, I fall for those things, apparently.
That's all right. We all have to have our little hobbies or whatnot with that stuff. But anyway, with the Packers doing so well to finish out last year, where, I mean, honestly, previously in this podcast, I've been quoted as saying, I think they're kind of like my dark horse this year, where like I think they're going to do really well this year with the way that they finished last year. Cause I think they've snuck into the playoffs at what, 9-7 or right? 9-7?
I don't even know.
Like the last game of the year.
Yeah.
Last game of the year.
Yeah. Came all the way back up.
Yeah, no, oh, sorry, 9-8. Yeah, I forgot. Sorry, 17 games now. I'm the dummy. Yeah. But anyway, so they finished strong the way that they did, and then they just blew the doors off of our poor sucker friends Dallas down there in that first playoff game, where I think it was like 21-0 in the first quarter, and everybody was like, what the hell's going on? I got to ask, how are you feeling going into this year with the way that they, you know, caught people off guard the way they did to finish last year?
I think with our team being as young as it is and was last year, it just like you could see them growing together throughout the season. And I'm hoping and praying that like this season, it just is continuing to grow and hopefully for a few more years, because they are so young that it was definitely, I mean, I told myself all of last season, it was a rebuilding year. Don't get your hopes up. And I didn't. Until I did.
Oh, that was, trust me, when what was it, when Macaroni Jones first showed up and we went 10-7 that year, and I was like, oh, here we go. I was one of those guys, I'm like,
yeah,
not missing a step, like we're going right back to Dynasty Town. And then it just like the last 2 years, I'm like, what the fuck was I thinking with that? But
yeah, I mean, Jordan Love isn't Macaroni Jones, so
no he's not. And that's and I gotta say, no. Real quick, sorry Burge, I'll throw it to you next, but like I gotta say, for Jordan Love, I was shocked at with how well he was able to take over that offense and run them the way that he did, where he blew me away. I'm 100% honest with you, because like I looked at it last year where I'm thinking like, okay, here's a guy who hasn't played any games at all. They gave him that extension that they did where they're like, we have the faith in the kid. We're going to let him just rip it this year. He had the second most touchdowns in the league, only behind, what was it, Dak Prescott. Which for his first year as a starter, that's really, really impressive. Like I said, and then you look at the receiving core he's got with, is it Romeo Doubs?
Dobbs.
Dobbs, yeah.
Dobbs. And then a couple of the other guys. Yeah, Watson. You guys are stacked up there for like a little while going forward, right?
I need you to knock on wood, but.
there you go. But, I got you.
Yeah, I mean, and now it looks like we've got a little bit more of a backup in the running game, too. So I'm hoping. I don't know. Hopefully it's diverse enough. We'll have to see what the defense does this year, though. Because it's big. It's always been our main downfall, to be honest, and our O-line. But
I sit here and I'm like, how did the Packers do it again?
I think
Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and now Jordan Love looks like he's on the climb. I'm like, I wanted the Patriots to draft Jordan Love when he was drafted by the Packers that year. I wanted them to take him to sit behind Brady for the year.
I mean, that draft alone was horrifying because we were still on the Rodgers train and everyone was pissed because we needed all their spots. And everybody was like, all right, you're out. But I don't know how much of it is like picking wisely when they draft these young quarterbacks, or if it's the fact that they have to sit behind these MVPs for years, learn from them, follow them, learn everything watching them, and like the full offense for years, and then they hop in and it's a learning curve. Yeah, but I don't know how much of it is their raw skill and how much of it is taught by doing it that way, because Rodgers did the same thing behind Favre.
Yeah, exactly. And I've always been a proponent where I've always said I'd rather have a young kid learn the ropes, sit on the bench for years, because I think just throwing them into the fire, especially like I said, with you when you look at teams that pick quarterbacks with the first, second, third picks or whatever, and then they just throw them into the fire and they get the shit kicked out of them for the first few years, I don't think it helps them in any stance. Where you look at Rodgers, that, yeah, maybe he sat for too long behind Favre because Favre's wheels really fell off towards the end, except for that one ridiculous year in Minnesota, which we're just going to pretend didn't happen. Rodgers, he took the ground running and just lit it up like from day one. And, you know, was it 08 was, I think, his first starting year, even though he was drafted in 04. Yeah, and he just didn't look back once they gave it to him. And Jordan Love definitely seems like if he continues what he did last year, like he should be just like Burge said, the train's going to keep on rolling. And if you hate the Packers, well, sucks to be you.
Right.
It's similar to
more recent examples. Patrick Mahomes sat behind Alex Smith for a year and then boom.
Yeah. Learned everything he needed to, got the chance to witness it from all angles. I mean, he put in the work though. I guarantee you he wasn't just going home Monday and hanging out. Like he's reviewing tapes, like he pushed it. So
definitely.
I only worry about our depth now. Were there to be any incident for any of our positions?
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know
how far deep it goes because they're so young, but hopefully everyone's just learning at the same pace. We'll see. I try not to be super optimistic with a young team, but I want to be.
Hey, you can be 10 times more optimistic than we are up in New England because, like 100%. I said,
I don't even know who's your QB this year.
We drafted Please. Drake May, but I think Brissett's going to be the starter.
Please, yeah. Brissett, please play the whole season. Brissett, don't throw Drake May out there early, please, because exactly what Hogan just described will happen. Drake May's going
to get. And if it does, I want back on this podcast to discuss.
Just like you said, you block your parents, I'm gonna block you that week.
That much shit during the season because I know for a fact that I don't handle it well.
My
brother is the exact opposite. He is the biggest shit talker and I can dish it, but I can't take it. So but he's a Niners fan, so the last couple years have been a little rough between us.
That's understandable. For me personally, I used to talk a lot of shit, and then I had my comeuppance went with the 07 Super Bowl. I don't know if I've told this story on this podcast, but real quickly, just to tell you how dumb and young I was, in 2007, undefeated season, Giants, blah, blah, blah. We all know how that ended. I'm in college at the time, and I'm watching that Super Bowl in a room with about 15 Giants fans, and I'm the only Patriots fan. I'm not saying a word throughout like the entire Super Bowl because I'm just so frustrated. And they're down. Finally, Randy Moss catches that touchdown with however many minutes were left. They go up 14-10. I get up and I'm just like, suck my dick, Giants fans. Shut the fuck up. Fuck all of you. I fucking blew.
Were you in like the common room with everyone in school?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I went, you could have heard me from like the town over. I was so loud, just in everybody's faces, like, shut the fuck up. And then my world just collapsed in on itself final drive when Plaxico goddamn Burris caught that touchdown. And I wanted to transfer. I wanted to like just be anywhere else on the planet for the next like month after that fucking Super Bowl. So that's where I learned a very valuable lesson that I don't talk shit until the final whistle is blown and the game is over. And then I'll be like, yeah, okay. Blow me now, but I don't do that anymore. I learned my lesson the hard way.
Yeah, a lot of us got on Discord last season for the playoffs and watched the Niners game, which I was very strongly against and almost didn't do.
Oh.
But same thing. I'm like, I got a little comfortable, started making a few comments here and there, and then... Yeah, and honestly, though, in college, I used to go down to a different floor. We had, like, I want to say, like, 10 floors in my first dorm building. And I would purposely, like, they'd all be on ours, and I'd go down to, like, the fourth floor and watching that cabin room by myself.
That's
I honestly like to watch those types of games, like, not in a big environment. Because
a big game, I can't.
Yeah. Just
leave me be.
I could potentially go to a bar where I can leave.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do Super Bowl at a bar or anything like that if it was the Packers, but.
That's completely understandable. I get it. Like I said, I think I make very, very small exceptions at this point for games at bars and whatnot, because I'll probably just get into a fight with somebody or say something stupid and be like, well, I'm canceled forever, so we're not going to do that.
Well, we had a great time that one time you and I went. The Flakegate game.
Oh, no. That was 10 years ago. Yeah, right. Well, actually, ironically, we spent the whole day there because we watched – sorry, not to bring this up. We watched the Seattle and Green Bay NFC Championship, which Green Bay should have won.
Yeah, That's why I brought it up.
You're talking like that Hail Mary pass?
Yeah, well, it was the onside kick. And then the Hail Mary. Yeah. So, actually, Green Bay. Well, I was going to say Rodgers was the master of the Hail Mary stuff, but I remember watching probably one of the most exciting playoff games I ever watched was the Arizona Cardinals one against you guys, where I'm sorry, at the end, Larry Fitzgerald had like that miracle run and everything, but Rodgers had the two Hail Mary passes like back to back to that white dude.
He was always good with that. He was good with like the scramble, like over to the side, Brett Favre, like sidearm thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I remember when we were driving to Canada, and that was when he threw it against
Detroit.
Yeah.
He did it again with like no time left.
We were like, what? All
the games blend together for me.
Because I think that would have been like Detroit's like one or second win of the year or something like that. And we're all thinking like against the Green Bay Packers, really? And then Rodgers is like, nah, fuck this shit. 60-yard bomb to win the game. Like, it's all good. Like, yeah, that's okay. That's typically how life goes with that. But all right. Well, now that we're on kind of the other division stuff here. So, Shannon, have you got any takes on anything within the division? I know obviously you're Green Bay first and foremost, but do you have any feelings on either Chicago, Detroit, or Minnesota? Or are you kind of just like, nah, I don't give a shit about you clowns?
I'm not worried about the Vikings at all this year.
Yeah.
The Bears, even if I were to be a little concerned, they just tend to not do well against us. And I think at a certain point it's in their heads, and I love it. So they could have a better record, and I still feel confident. Well, knock on wood, but
yep,
yeah, on them still. But the Lions, I don't know. So they got a couple people in this year, right? Do you guys know off the top of your head?
I know they have a lot of the guys returning with, obviously, right. They got Jared Goff with that huge extension. They got Amon St. Brown or whatever his name is. They got him wrapped up for a while. Gibbs had a hell of a year as a rookie, which a lot of people weren't projecting him to have. Montgomery was a touchdown machine. But I feel, for me personally, when it comes to Detroit, I'm not over the moon with them like Burgess. He loves to gloat about the Lions and whatnot. But I look at them as like, I respect them for what they are. But at the same time, I get so frustrated with their fallacies, because you look at Campbell, and as good as he is as a coach and as inspiring as he is, he's a ding dong when it comes to just being smart about doing the right thing at the end of a game. Well, no, am I wrong? Think about
the playoffs.
No. Like, go back to the Cowboys regular season game. They went for the 2-point conversion 3 times in a row. Tie the game up. Go to overtime. You had all the momentum.
I would run through a freaking brick wall for that dude.
Oh, my God.
I would run through a brick wall for that dude if he was my coach.
And you'd lose in the NFC Championship like he did.
I would have called that game the exact same way. He went for it. He trusted his guys. It didn't work out. They did it all year. They did the same thing all year.
And that's why they failed. That's what I'm saying, is like, you can do it to an extent. And then when it comes down to that moment where it's either like, you can play smart and like live and like fight for it and continue to fight, or you can be stupid and go all out and blow the game the way they did. Give me the smart play at the end of the day. Like, you can go
hindsight's balls to the wall 20, for 20.
It was out of 3. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to take his side on this one. You got to go at least for one simple extra point.
Right? No,
they went on fourth down. They were going for it on fourth down.
No. In the playoffs, it is what it is. Like, you can go like I against the, what was it, the 49ers in the NFC Championship. I guess there was a lot of different points in that game that led up to what happened. I'm just saying in general, like, with like the Cowboys game in the regular season when Detroit played them, they went for a 2-point conversion three different times.
I understand that.
Like, and it was like, but back to back is what I'm saying. Like that he should have after like that second one, kick the fucking extra point.
And third time's a charm. That's the mentality.
And it wasn't
They were going for playoff seeding at that point.
I understand that.
Go for the win.
Don't go for the fucking win.
I have no problem with that, especially the way 2-point conversions are converted these days in the NFL. No issue with that.
I will say, though, if they're already guaranteed a playoff spot at that point, it is kind of the time to take those chances. So,
God damn it, B12. I'm going to yell at you now.
Devil's advocate here.
Yeah, clearly, because you got me all fired up thinking I'm right, and now you're like, well...
Well, I thought you were talking about the playoff game. I didn't remember that.
Well, it's a little bit of both, because like I said, Campbell is I feel like you can do it to a certain extent, and that's just my point on that is like if it's a regular season game, if you have a playoff seeding locked up, if everything is working in your favor and you want to go crazy and you want to do that, by all means, go do that. But at the end of the day, they were playing for a shot to play in the Super Bowl.
His players let him down. Bad drops, fumbles.
On that note, though, I mean, the team, do you see them growing from where they were last season? Or do you see this just evening out and riding out until it's going downhill?
Detroit, personally, I think they're going to take a step back this year because they're not going to catch – really anybody by surprise by who they are or the way that they play or the razzle dazzle 2-point conversions going for fourth down stuff. Like they're not going to catch anybody off guard, where if you look at a team like hypothetically, let's say Green Bay, if you guys start going for it on fourth and 10, or you're going for 2-point conversions every time you score a touchdown, I'll be like, what the fuck's going on? Like, this is not normally Green Bay stuff. You know what I mean? So like, that would be like, oh, okay. Like this is crazy. But with Detroit,
Detroit doing it again.
It's who they are. That's their identity.
I think that they're going to be about the same, if not like Hogan, a little step back, because you know Jared Goff at the end of the day is Jared Goff. I think he's played far better than anybody expected him to play since when he was traded there. Like he was a throw-in in that trade, but he did just get his bag, and when that happens sometimes that has a negative impact on a player. So they're going to be a playoff team next year.
I wouldn't be surprised if they were, but I also wouldn't be surprised if every team around them, even in the division, has grown and they've just stuck to where they are, and that's going to throw them from loops for six of their games.
It'll be fascinating to see how that division plays out, because I think it's going to be one of the better divisions in the league outside of maybe Minnesota, because you know the early stuff with Minnesota with Sam Darnold kind of taking, at least in the summer camp, that he's going to be looking like he's going to be a starter. I don't think for them if JJ is that bad. And you were high on him in the draft. I said he was going to be a bust.
I just, like I said, I think from my perspective, like I said, if a rookie going to a team that I think that is going to be in the long run, probably be successful, I took JJ because I look at Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell as their coach. He's a very, very good coach. Agreed. He can probably coach the shit out of the kid to be halfway decent. And at the end of the day, I'll die on this rock. If you're throwing the ball to Justin Jefferson, you cannot be that bad. You can't be bad, because Justin Jefferson is just a freak of nature who is just probably hands down the best receiver in the game right now. And relax down there. What are we nodding our head for? What do we got, Watson?
I'm just listening.
Oh, you're just listening? Yeah. The eye rolls and the head nods. I don't think he's just listening down
there. Justin Jefferson also just got paid. You never know.
No, I wouldn't draft him.
You wouldn't draft Justin Jefferson.
Don't
lie to me.
Not in the first three rounds, no.
Are you talking fantasy football?
Yeah, fantasy wise.
My mind's blown right now.
His stock takes a bit of a hit.
Because the injury?
Because Kirk Cousins is gone.
Jefferson, I don't know.
Addison.
It's tough to like lower my bias being in the same division, but
that's I get that. I don't draft Buffalo Bills for that reason.
Ever. Oh my god!
I used to draft I'd draft Calvin Cook.
That's okay. Oh, I was gonna say Calvin Johnson. You wouldn't take him.
No.
You never had a quarterback to throw to him.
Yeah,
Stafford. Mm-hmm.
I mean, before and after Stafford, I should say. But anyway, Stafford
was always realizing how biased my teams might be. But
that's
I respect the hell out of it because I do fantasy football the same way.
I have like four leagues every year, and I've gotten better at not just drafting Packers players because that's bit me in the ass so many times. But I also realize I probably won't draft many.
I never draft Patriot players anymore, and I tried unless it was Brady, I tried not to touch any Pats players in the past either, because unless it was Brady or Gronk, like, because think about it, like, running back, name one running back that was a fantasy stud for the Patriots other than Corey Dillon.
Stephen Ridley had a year.
Oh god, I'm leaving.
LeGarrette Blunt with his touchdowns. Okay, yeah, there's the bias right there, his anti-bias. He wouldn't even draft Randy Moss when he was with the Patriots. That's where he's going with this.
I did have Randy Moss when he was with the Patriots. I'm talking about like more recently, like probably the last like 10 years or so.
You wouldn't have had Edelman.
Edelman's not bad, but he's also, unless you're in a PPR, like, is he really going to be a stud for you?
Are you not doing PPRs?
Well, I do, like, some of my leagues, I do like half PPRs and then others I don't. So it's like I said,
had LeGarrette Blunt the year he went for like 20 plus touchdowns.
Well, he had a couple of 10 years with us, and he was, I mean, at that time, he was splitting with, again, James White was like hit or miss, where he could go off for 35 points or he could have zero. Rex Burkhead was the same thing. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, I mean, he was okay. But again, Woodhead was there at some point. Like, running backs are, Belichick made the running back a dying breed in New England with the way that he ran it the last like 10 years or so. That's my whole point with fantasy. And then on top of that, with receivers in New England, look at freaking N'Keal Harry. Everybody thought he was going to be a beast, and he did nothing. Edelman was the only receiver there for the last few years. Name another receiver that you would have taken in the last 5 years with the Patriots.
I wouldn't. The Patriots haven't been good.
I was going to say none of the receivers. I did have
Kendrick Bourne had a decent.
I had Damian Harris a few years ago. He wasn't good. He came like mid-season, right? I think, and really took off.
Well, he was a touchdown guy. I mean, I don't think he had 1,000 yards, but he had like 15 touchdowns because they just gave him the ball at the 1 yard line because they never could score on the pass. But anyway, now that we've beaten the horse of the fantasy and all the NFC North here for the different teams, shut the fuck up, God. Anyway, so let's get real here. What do we got for any predictions going into this year? Do you have a record, or do you have who's winning the division? What do you got for us?
So I think the Packers have the potential to win the division. Do I think they will? I don't know. Probably not, but I definitely think they have the potential. More than likely to be Lions Packers. Fighting for a wild card again, but I don't think we'll be fighting as hard last year if we are in that position.
Okay.
It's really going to depend on, like I said, what this young team does. And we got a lot. I'm really leaning on our running game this year too. So, cause we're stacked on the wide receivers, but last
year,
you
guys picked up Josh Jacobs, which I'm curious. So in your eyes, do you see that as a upgrade over Aaron Jones, or is that more or less like a,
I think it was pretty equal, but I think he might have a little bit more in him left than Jones did.
Okay.
It did hurt though. I was very upset. That was almost on par with like Jordy Nelson, like Randall Cobb, that leaving.
Yeah.
But with his injuries last year, and I want to say the year before too, like I at least can understand more. It was better than just having AJ Dillon in there and that was it. Mm-hmm. Cause everyone knew once he was in, he was getting it.
Yeah. Is AJ still there, right? He's still the backup technically. Okay. I wasn't sure if he had been Quadzilla or whatever the hell his name is. I remember when he came out of BC, he had like he had thighs bigger than my tree waist, trunks. Which is yeah. saying something because I'm not exactly a small guy. So that's pretty freaking wild. But no, I know a lot of people that really like go all in on AJ Dillon for fantasy wise because I always think he's a touchdown vulture on the goal line and all that, which are completely understandable. But I think if Jacobs gets a rock this year, like if he's able to do what he did a couple of years ago with the Raiders, there's no reason he can't lead the league in rushing again because he has that dynamic talent to just take off and score from 80, 90, 70 yards whenever he wants to. So you're spot on with that. That offense should keep cooking the way that it should from last year. There's no reason they can't win the division. And at the end of the day, for me personally, I think it's going to just be a battle between Detroit and Green Bay because I think Chicago is not going to do much this year with their young guys and the way that that team's put together. On paper, it looks great, but will it come together? I don't know. And then Minnesota is definitely in a complete rebuild year. So,
I mean, for me, Chicago is like kind of a little bit of a wild card because you don't really know what they're going to look like with the quarterback. They added DeAndre Swift in the running game. They have DJ Moore there. They drafted Roma Odunze. They got the talent there to do something. It's just going to be a matter of there's growing pains.
Yeah, I don't know. DJ Moore seems to be on the decline over the last 2 years or so, though. So maybe they – I don't know. I don't know if their QB is strong enough to bring him back in.
I have a lot of question marks on Caleb Williams, like he does too with his character and stuff.
But, yeah, because I agree. They're probably a wild – I don't think they're enough of a wild card to overtake the Packers or Lions, but they may be better than last season.
I think you'll see an improvement from them. I agree with you about Lions, Packers kind of being the top two.
Mm-hmm.
I personally am biased, so I will take the Lions to win the division again, but I will not be shocked in any way if they flip. But I think they're both
comfortable I think in the playoffs. Ideally, knock on wood, they're both going into the playoffs regardless. It's just who's getting what seed and how. Hopefully, barring any crazy injuries that tend to come in the first 2 weeks. So. Yes.
Speaking of crazy injuries, do we want to talk about the Jets and how you feel about them?
We absolutely can. Okay. I think they love our leftovers. I think I have a lot of feelings on it, actually. It was crazy to see Rodgers fully following in Favre's footsteps in that sense. and while I would never, ever wish an injury on anyone, it could be even Tom Brady back in his prime. I would never wish for him to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that this is the first time where I literally left.
Nice.
Like, what is, I am like running late for this game. I'm like, I'll go watch him play his first, whatever. And I get a text saying he's hurt. And I'm like, no, you're full of shit. Like, why would I believe that? And they're like, no, he's like really hurt. Like he's leaving. Four snaps in, man. That's insane.
So my buddy. Oh, sorry. I was gonna say my buddy. He was an athletic trainer in college, and I think he got like his physician license or whatever. I don't know. He's pretty much a doctor, sports doctor, as I call it. He's a diehard Giants fan, and we were all watching that Monday night game, and we have a big group text, and all of a sudden the injury happened, and I want to say like a play later when they show the replay. My buddy just texted us and he's like, Achilles, he's done. And I remember thinking like, you got that from what just happened. He's like, I've seen it. He's like the way he fell and the way he got up and the way he's moving. He's like, his Achilles is torn. He's done. And then when the news broke that he tore his Achilles, it was just like,
you're like,
oh my God.
Yeah, I thought at first, maybe an ankle, he'd be back at least in a few plays, if not next week.
It's the worst when you can see the calf. And you're like, you see it there. And I'm like, that doesn't look good.
Yeah just seeing injuries because now they have the slow-mo and all the high def different angles. Oh, yeah. But no, I mean, not only like him just going there was bad enough, but the fact that he wasn't willing to lower his salary when he was with the Packers his last couple of years in order for us to pick up more talent to help him. Like it was this whole thing that he was just refusing to take any type of pay cut. Immediately goes to the Jets, takes less money just to rub it into our faces. I guarantee it. Just to bring over all of his favorite Packers players. And like, granted, if I was in that position, I'd do the same thing. But it was such a smack in the face to like the whole team that he just played his whole career with.
and the thing is, like, those guys are all past their prime, washed up. Yes. Randall Cobb is anyway, like,
yeah, but
Randall Cobb is like,
Lazard still got a little bit in him.
They didn't need him.
That's my thing. Is like, he didn't, no offense, he didn't win with them in Green Bay. And then he's like, oh, we're going to go win in New York now with the exact same squad we have. Well, and
it just
it's like,
reminds me of Brady bringing Gronk with him. Like, it's the same concept. You just bring your little buddies because you have that pull.
Yeah.
Like, you're not aiming to win at that point. But granted, while they didn't need them, they were better than what they had, I will say.
Well, yeah. I mean, Garrett Wilson helps.
Prime.
Like, yeah, well, no, I like I said, I was on record as being a Cobb fan for a while. He's yeah, a really good player.
He's probably like second or third, like top five favorite Packer ever. Yeah. But yeah, they didn't need them, but I don't know. I think it was just the smack in the face of taking a pay cut just to bring them over.
Oh yeah.
And then demanding them at the same time.
Now, will you really hate everybody and everything if Rodgers ends up with the Vikings? Just a really full circle with what Favre did.
Oh, no, it'd be everything. Funny at that point, and it would just lower his full reputation. Like, the same thing happened with Favre. Like, even though he had a good season, how much does it matter after you just did all of that?
Yeah, yeah.
But also, back then, it didn't happen as often. Like, now, I feel like QBs are bouncing back and forth. Back then, I feel like they didn't jump like that. And it was like so unheard of to play your whole career with one team. Or I think Favre started with
Atlanta.
Atlanta, yeah.
Brett Favre will always be remembered in Minnesota for that god awful interception he threw late in the game in the playoffs.
Against the Saints, yeah. Yeah.
Cost him the game.
Another beautiful moment as a Packers fan. Kind of like karma just hit him a little bit late.
Well, and in fairness, Favre does have the most interceptions in league history, so he had to hold himself up to his own standard at that point and just add one more to the collection. So, all right, my friends. Well, at this point, I think we're footballed out. I had some fun tonight. I know Burge did, and Shannon, I hope you did as well. Really quickly, would you like to plug your Twitch self at this point for any of our listeners out there?
Yeah, so I am the real_B12. I do a lot of variety games, a lot of horror lately, but I've also been dabbling back into, I'm doing some A Link to the Past, some Zelda, nice. A lot of Pokemon on stream. What other? I've a lot of Pokemon lately, actually. Stardew, I literally just play what I'm feeling.
Just you so crushing on Fortnite. Don't sell yourself short. I usually lurk in the streams when you're killing it on Fortnite. You're like, oh, Prowler's here. Shut up. I'm busy owning these bitches. Don't talk to me right now. I'm like, all right, fair enough.
A little bit of Fortnite. This season's been a little rough, but
I
basically emphasize the community, and I play what I'm feeling so that I'm not miserable on there, so I can just hang with everyone and do what I would do anyway, but with friends and not in that crazy social environment. So. An introvert's dream, to be honest, but
gotta get the horror, gotta get it, the horror streams up for Hogan so he can jump out of his pants.
You watched me play that last week.
So first I was gonna say she visited me when I was playing Madison and just laughed her ass off at me, my montages, because I just got the shit scared out of me. And then I remember was the guy with the axe. That's all I know is you got so scared and I was
so dying. Dead of night.
Okay.
Yeah, I literally got scared so bad that I screamed, and I mean literally like jaw dropping scream. Stopped, screamed again. Like double screamed. I'm not built for them. Chat loves to watch it. I am not. I have too much anxiety. I genuinely have not gone back to that game because I think I'm going to have a heart attack. And then I played
right
the test last time.
That's you keep them guessing. That's the way to do it. Like I do the same thing where I'm like, you know what? I'm playing Half-Life today. And then it's like, oh, tomorrow I'm playing Super Mario. And then the day after that, I'm playing Destiny or something crazy. So I completely get it. But for all of our followers out there, our listeners, if you haven't had a chance to check out the real_B12, go check her stream out. It is the best of the best. I love being in that community. I love watching her either get scared or kick ass in Fortnite and everything. So go check her out the chance you get. Burgess, we got a couple more things we want to plug in here. What do we got for us?
Yes, this podcast is brought to you by Midnight Ride Productions. Be sure to check out our network, midnightrideproductions.net. You can also follow us on Twitter. I'm not going to read the handle because it is a little weird. MR Productions with, instead of an O, it's the number zero. So get us on Twitter there. A lot of cool stuff coming. If you want to start a podcast or produce any content that's doesn't have to be sports related, can be video games. We've got a video game pod that Hogan is a host of, Rings and Things, hockey. I'm on the Two Pet Stack. Anything. We'll be happy to talk with you on it. We'd love to work with you. So be sure to get us on the socials. Speaking of the Two Pet Stack, be sure to check us out on Twitter. We have a giveaway for hockey fans that listen to this. The great Bobby Orr, Boston Bruin, signed picture. Free giveaway by following us. So be sure to check that out next week on this podcast. We're going to be breaking down the NFC South division with our old friend Manish Mehta.
Let's go. So
he will be back to talk about the Bucks, Panthers, Falcons, and I'm missing one. Saints. There we go. Saints. Thank you.
There you go.
We'll be the breaking Aints. That. Yeah, the Aints. So we'll be breaking that division down for you next week with our good friend Manish. Shannon, thank you very much for coming on with us. We've had a blast. I've had a blast getting to meet you and talk Packers with you and pick some fights about the Bills.
Oh yeah.
Hope to do it again soon.
Oh yeah. I'm always here to, you know, talk smack about other teams, but don't come too hard at me.
Well, actually, now that we got our Midnight Ride stuff going on, we might have to get you set up with the Packers podcast going on pretty soon, and I can come visit you on that and talk some smack when my Patriots go 2-15 or whatever dog shit record they're gonna have this year. So
yeah, we'll see. And I'll just promote myself to all your followers. And
let's go.
Unbelievable. No, well, thank you. Thank you for joining us. It was an absolute blast, and we can't wait to have you back on again.
Yeah, absolutely. I was glad to be here. See you again, I'm sure.
Absolutely. For sure.
Hogan, I wish I could say it was a pleasure. It never is. But have yourself a good week, all right? I'm going to be nice. Have yourself a good week, all right?
Nah, fuck you, clown.
All right. On that note, have a good week, y'all. Peace.
Later.